Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Welcome to this edition of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer. Joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everybody.
And Bishop Ben.
Blessings to all.
And tonight we're going to talk about Advent 2024. It's right here upon us. It starts tomorrow. Well, as respective of this recording, it starts on Sunday, December 1st. And so we are looking to begin our Advent process. And so we thought it'd be a good thing to kind of look at the history and everything of Advent as we enter the season, what it is and how we celebrate it. All the wonderful things that make it exciting. So so I guess I'll start off here with a little bit of the history of Advent. Advent started kind of early in the church, about the between the 300 and the 500s AD, with the idea of marking off the time of anticipation leading toward the birth of Christ, towards the Nativity, and giving a time to prepare your heart, prepare your mind for the celebration of Christ's birth. And it was typically in many of the Orthodox and Roman Catholic churches were seen as a time also of reflection upon Mary's role in the whole process of bringing Jesus to the world, you know, her willingness to bear him and his her willingness to you know, make the sacrifices necessary for the coming of the Christ child. And so you know, we spend the time in Advent looking at all the pieces that go into play to make the Nativity possible. And while we do that, we focus on various themes too: hope, peace, joy, love, as we head towards the Nativity. Things that we should be helping grow in our lives, those good virtues that we should be working to promote in the world around us and in our daily lives. And so, and interestingly enough, Advent has not always been kind of a set process either. For instance, in England, during the Advent season, the Advent season was not 4 weeks, it was 7 weeks long.
Oh, wow.
So Advent started well before everyone else did and lasted longer. So, you know, it's not always been a uniform process throughout Christendom, but it has been a process of preparation for the coming of the Christ child.
It's interesting, having been raised in the Pentecostal church, we didn't necessarily observe Advent. I know my family didn't. And it was it wasn't a concept that I learned till into my teens, as far as an event and part of church history, which I find interesting, you know, looking back at it. And I learned about it and didn't really start practicing the observance of Advent until I came into MCC. And I love the period of time in which we pause or we spend some time setting aside our thoughts about the birth of Christ and what it speaks to us. I know a lot of churches like to focus specifically on, you know, Advent as the coming of Christ the second time. But I find that we have a lot to still learn about the first time, his first coming. So, and I mean, being a big Christmas person that I am, Advent is just an excuse for me to be even more at depth of celebrating. And I think it's important for us to spend a good bit of time focusing on what it is that is being conveyed to us through scriptures, through the event of Christ showing up and coming, and the importance of Christ being through us here still. And so it's a wonderful period of time. I, for one, enjoy the observance of Advent. You know, I'm not as in depth of the history as you are, only because I just simply was not raised in that practice of observance. And it's interesting because my mother, who still attends Pentecostal charismatic churches, told me that she was starting to observe Advent a few years ago. I say, oh yeah, it's wonderful.
And it's starting to make its rounds in the Protestant churches now too, as they're picking up the practice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a good preparation for Christmas. You know, in so many churches, especially Protestant churches over the years, you just kind of went from, you know, normal everyday Sundays to boom, there's Christmas.
There's a Christmas tree in the sanctuary now.
Right. So, I mean, this kind of gives you that whole preparation as you lead up to Christmas and kind of ease into it rather than,
right,
you know, boom, it's there. And it also gives you the opportunity to do things like, you know, some years we do a Blue Christmas service, you know, for those people that tend to find themselves depressed or, you know, down during the holiday seasons, those who have lost loved ones during the holiday season, an opportunity to kind of come together and celebrate, but not with the overwhelming amount of joy and lights and glitter and the whole nine yards, you know, to be more subdued to fit their mood. And then, of course, another thing that a lot of people love is the lessons and carols.
Yeah.
During the holiday season. That's a bit of a long service, but it's kind of a telling of the Christmas story mixed with, you know, Christmas hymns and things, Christmas carols, as you tell the Christmas story, and all the wonderful Christmas pageants and cantatas, and, you know, the whole nine yards as you get closer to Christmas. And so it's a wonderful time of year, a wonderful time of preparation. I find that Advent helps me get ready for Christmas, you know, especially in those years where we start to enter the season and I'm kind of like, bah, humbug. It'll help me to get into the mood as we get closer to Christmas time. So, Bishop Ben, your thoughts?
Well, you know, y'all have covered it pretty much. You know, just a matter of being in a frame of mind of where you're going to be during Advent. I'm like you. I love Christmas, but I use the Advent season to put me where I need to be spiritually and physically to minister to our flock. You know, we have to be able to be in that right mind frame to tell this Christmas story. So we have to make sure we prepare our hearts and our souls so we can minister correctly.
Right, absolutely. So this year at St. Francis Parish, we're going to be focused on a couple of different messages. So we're doing a series starting December 3rd called, that's a Tuesday, called How to Be a Resisting Church. I'll look at the messages of Dr. Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with a little Mahatma Gandhi mixed in about peaceful resistance, nonviolent resistance in our day and time, and how we can, as a church, be more focused on social justice issues, but do it nonviolently. There's a lot of violence in the world today, a lot of anger and hatred, and we want to focus on not being that way, how to be, you know, how to resist without, you know, actually being violent. And so we're doing that, and then on Sundays, I haven't quite decided which series I'm going with. Yeah. On Sundays, but it'll be something that will complement that study of nonviolent resistance as we go through the Sundays of Advent. Reverend Mark, you got some ideas from the MCC side?
Well, we do, because MCC is kind of a melting pot of all kind of different backgrounds. We do observe Advent, as we said, and we'll hold to the traditional themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. And we usually on Joy Sunday, we have our cantata. Sometimes it's a mesh of cantata slash lessons and carols. One year we kind of did lessons and carols with the music, but essentially it'll be a whole service that's just revolving around singing. So I'm excited about that. I too struggled with which direction to go with a series, and this is one of the times of the years that it's wonderful to have certain series. Lent is obviously another time. I'm the title of my series is going to be Holy Interruptions. So talk about how the birth of Christ, the moments of orchestrated by the Spirit, are holy interruptions into our lives to do what Advent has done or should do, and that is to slow us down, to bring us to a pause, or at least a lesser speed that life is offering us, and remind us of what we have, who we come from, who's a part of our lives as far as in the spiritual sense, and you know, the tasks ahead of us, just as Christ, you know, his arrival was celebrated, but it was also attached to it was there's tasks for this baby when the baby grows to fulfill. And so we're going to look at some of those elements throughout Advent, tying them with, you know, Christ's growth and walk. And you know, there's not a lot that the scripture tells us about his childhood. We get a nice understanding of how he arrived, and a little bit thereafter, and then scriptures usually pull up to where you know he's an adult. And so just take a little lead time and think about, you know, the fact that he was here, he came, and the importance that all that was on him as he was a child growing. And, you know, we'll explore some of those thoughts, but that's what I kind of landed on. Only one of the main reasons I went in this direction was because December 1st is also World AIDS Day, which is a very important day of observation for a lot of people in our church. I know in your church as well. And we'll be holding a second service tomorrow on Sunday night, December 1st. So
yes, it'll be streamed.
We will stream. Yeah, it'll be streamed live. So it's very important to remember World AIDS Day.
Bishop Ben, have you got any thoughts towards what you're going to do as a series for Advent?
Well, I was thinking about that, but I decided to follow in line with you and just do, you know, just follow along with you as how to be a resistant church, but peacefully, and follow your cue, because I think it's a good message to put out, because we are in the times where we as a church need to stand up and fight for what we believe in. And fight for social injustices.
I think it's an important message, but it is important, like I said, that we do it in a peaceful, nonviolent way.
Correct.
And, you know, this is a good time to focus on that, because, you know, a lot of the messages around Christmas, also can't forget the Holy Innocents, you know, the young babies killed by the Romans. You know, Roman oppression that caused them to have to move to Bethlehem to be counted in the census. You know, so there was, you know, Israel-Palestine in that day and time was, you know, very much under Roman rule, Roman oppression.
Yeah.
And so it's a great time of the year to focus on that too. There are a couple of ideas for Advent for those people wondering about what to do for Advent. There's a great program called Advent Conspiracy. I don't know if any of y'all have heard of it before or not, but Advent Conspiracy is a site created about 5 or 6 years ago, and it focuses on non-commercializing Christmas, essentially. And so the whole idea is teaching you ways and methods of celebrating Advent and Christmas in a way that removes commercialization. You know, don't go buy big gifts for people, but make things to give away. If you do have to go buy something, go to mom and pop shops and buy instead of big box stores. You know, focus on spending more quality time with your family around the holidays versus just giving gifts and walking away and that kind of thing. And so that's a whole website of ideas and things. And I think they've put out a book too of ideas on how to celebrate the Advent and Christmas season from that point of view. It's called Advent Conspiracy. And then there's a series done by the Episcopal Church USA called The Beloved. And it's a series that focuses on how you can be a better racial advocate, an ally to people who are people of color. It's part of their social justice initiative over the last several years to diversify the church and remove the stigma of racism that, you know, permeated the Episcopal Church for many years. And so they have a whole series. They have one for Advent and one for Lent called The Beloved. And you can get the information and series. It has also a workbook for people to use at home for every day of Advent and every day of Lent. So that they continue that work and that process through the Advent and Christmas season, as well as the Lenten season, if you want. I'd take a sip of coffee. Those are a couple of good ideas. The United Methodist Church has a series as well, and the name of it is escaping me at the moment. But if you look up the United Methodist Church and Advent, I'm sure it'll come up. And they have a good series as well, with a lot of resources to help people celebrate. So there's a lot of good material out there. If you really want to do more for Advent, it's certainly there. Just this past week, we went, decorated up the church, got it ready for the Advent and Christmas season. That was wonderful. A lot of good people came out and helped us with that, and made the church a beautiful place for the season. And Reverend Mark up on a ladder, hanging ornaments.
And Luna got up.
Yeah, Luna got up on the ladder a few times. Yeah. We just had to make sure that we were ready to catch Reverend Mark if he fell. Luna, not so much, but I mean.
It would have been in the spirit, of course.
Right. So we had good fun doing that, too. So it's that time of season, too, to prepare for decorating your homes, decorating your churches. Getting ready. We've already got our Christmas tree up over here. You can't see it. It's just outside the camera view. But we have the our Christmas tree up. You can see the little lights through the door there, twinkling in the outdoors. So we're getting in the holiday season ourselves as well. Do we want to touch for a moment on the holiday controversies?
I was going to say that.
I mean, why not? I mean, since you exactly. Brought it up.
So let me ask you, is it Merry Christmas or is it Happy Holidays?
Well, I typically use Happy Holidays if I don't know what the person's religious affiliation is. Just because there are something like 30 different celebrations during November and December for various religions and faiths. And so, you know, everybody's celebrating something this time of year, mm-hmm. but it may not necessarily be Christmas. And so I tend to use Happy Holidays.
And the reason why I brought that up is because today I was attacked on Facebook from people saying, well, you're an old Catholic church. You should know better than saying Happy Holidays. And then my response was, well, we have to be Christ-like and honor everybody else that doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Right.
We have to be tolerant to other faiths.
Right.
I think it's stupid.
I agree.
I think it's absolutely stupid for people to be hung up on Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas versus mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, I'm shocked because the very people that tended to get upset about it are the very people that'll listen to, what's his name, Andy Williams, and who's the other guy, sing Happy Holidays, Happy Holidays, while the merry bells keep ringing, Happy Holidays to you. You know, I grew up, that's out of the 40s and 50s, that song.
Right.
And, nobody was, you know, losing it when he started, you know, they started singing that song. So I just, it's a solution looking for a problem, or a problem looking for, I don't know. It's whatever it is. It's people, getting, ticked off over, they're just looking for something to get ticked off. Let's just, right. You know, I guess there's not enough oppressed people in the world. We have to now invent some more that are quote unquote oppressed. And I, you know, I guess it was 12 years ago or whatever, you know, when the whole major coffee chain put out the red cup, and they were just I thought they were pretty, and I did, you know, I had to go to Facebook to find out that we were supposed to be mad that somebody had a red and green cup versus one that had Merry Christmas plastered all over it. And I guess about that time Target, or a few years before then, I probably should have said the name of the place, but the major chain was like, say, Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas. And of course, you know, by us boycotting that chain, obviously, you know, the widows were being taken care of, the children were being fed that were homeless. You know, the veterans were being sheltered by us raising our arm. If you could ever get the Christian community focused on those type of things, like they get focused on somebody not saying Merry Christmas, or, you know, the Christmas, the coffee cup that's overpriced coffee is in a red and green cup versus one that has Merry Christmas plastered on. If we could ever get that level of righteous indignation towards being hospitable towards all the people that Scripture tells us to be hospitable towards, and that's everybody, but specific people, you know, we might do some good in the world. But instead, we're ticked off of somebody said Happy Holidays and the coffee cup's red and green versus, you know.
There you have.
I mean, I just, to me, it's the dumbest. It's so dumb.
It really is.
It's just so dumb to me. And I could throw out some more words, but I distinctly remember that my level of patience over something like that when it was brought to my attention was practically zero. And I remember looking at somebody who's very devout, you know, believer in Christianity and everything. I looked at him and I said, "Are you joking me?" I said, "This is a joke, right?" I just think it's appalling. They're trying to cancel out Jesus. I said, "Ain't nobody trying to cancel out Jesus." I said, "You're canceling out Jesus by your response and your reactions. You're canceling out how Jesus would reply to something that's controversial. Jesus would continue to go to the streets and minister to the homeless, take in the minister to the widow, the orphan, the downtrodden, those that were hungry. That's what Jesus would be doing. Jesus would be taking care of that stuff and not worried that his name was not plastered on a coffee cup for triple the price of what it actually cost them to make it."
Right.
Sorry.
No, it's absolutely accurate. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, he came here and we killed him, and then everybody gets angry because we're not plastering his name on everything. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of crazy. You know, it's kind of like there was a comedian. I don't remember which one now, but probably George Carlin, knowing my luck. But anyway, who several years ago said, you know, if Jesus came back, all these people, they're Christians walking around with a cross to remind him of how they killed him the first time around, it's not exactly something he might find welcoming, you know? I mean, and there's some truth to that, you know? The amount of militancy that we have when it comes to things like that.
Well, the early Christian, and please feel free to augment my history here.
Right.
The early Christianity symbol was the fish.
Yes, it
was. And early, this is way back, but they have found some graphic designs, if you will, from the early church where they acknowledged some of the Jewish heritage, and they had the fish linked with the menorah. And so I think that's an interesting design, but primarily the early church symbol was that of the fish, not the cross. So
the early church was very much about the symbols of life when it came to Jesus.
Yeah.
and the ithacus, which is the fish, was a very major symbol. And the other was typically loaves of bread or, you know, flasks of wine. You know, the cross didn't really become...
I like the wine part.
Yeah, I do too.
Let's go back to that.
Let's go back to that every day, the cross didn't become a symbol of Christianity until Constantine, 300s. And after his vision by the sign Conquer, suddenly the cross became the center focus of Christianity. But prior to that, it was all symbols of life, you know. It was not a dead fish either. It's fish was typically depicted as moving, being alive, you know. And that came from Jesus' whole dissertation on, I will make you fishers of men, you know. And so the ithacus became a standard symbol of Christianity in the first 300 years of the church. I think we should go back to that. I think that, you know, the cross and the message of Constantine is one of militancy. It's not one of love and compassion and care. You know, we need to shed that as a church and return to the roots of Christianity, promoting life and love and hope and joy and peace, you know, versus this militant fight against principalities and powers.
Well, you just take that thought further that I said just a second ago. You know, what would Jesus, how Jesus would respond to, you know, his name not being on a coffee cup, or, you know, this holiday that we invented, that obviously remembers his arrival and his being here, but it's now commercialized. But now, you know, some company says, we want y'all to say Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas. You know, what would his response be? Well, think about his response to Pilate when Pilate said, you know, are you a king? And what did he's okay, yeah, you said it. You're the one. You know, he was focused on the task at hand. And he questioned his disciples before, you know, who do you say that I am? You know, you've watched me, who do you say that I am? And of course they respond, you know, some say you're this, some say you're a prophet, some say you're a teacher. You know, well, who do you say that I am? You know, you are Christ. You're someone who has been anointed. You are the Christ, Son of God. And that's what Jesus wants us to know about him, is that he is actively, you know, he would actively be doing something versus running around worried about what people were saying about him, worried about what people were doing about him. He was about, how many times did he say, I'm about my Father's business, I'm about the Almighty's business, I'm here, I can't, you know, I've got to focus, I got to do this, and didn't get bogged down in political mess, but was focused on making sure that the life of the kingdom, the life of God, was seen before humanity, and that life brings life, it brings hope and peace and joy and love. And, you know, we're over here worried about status, you know, oh, well, everybody needs to know that this is a church holiday, and everybody needs to know this is about, you know, who we're worshiping. You know, they'll probably figure it out if we're out about doing the work of Christ.
Right.
You know, I usually don't worry too much about what everybody's saying about me. You know, just let my life speak for itself. You know, people that know me the most will know that, well, Mark's not that way, or Mark wouldn't say something like that, and so on. I mean, anybody that knows me, if they heard somebody say, well, I don't think he likes Christmas, everybody that knows me would know that that's not true. I mean, because you just know me, and that's the way we should be as believers and Christians, is, you know, do they get angry over coffee cups? No, they're Christians. They're about feeding the poor, the hungry, and so forth.
Right, exactly. And I would say to the person who would say that Mark hates Christmas, I would say you're not only a liar, you're a damn liar. I mean, I've been to his house during the holiday season, and I can tell you he loves Christmas.
Just a wee bit. Matter of fact, we lost Dana in the midst of all the Christmas trees when y'all came over the other day. Where's right. Dana?
Yeah, she was darting in between Christmas trees.
I've seen people with smaller houses with more trees than I do. But...
I can imagine.
So, challenge accepted.
But, well, and to kind of piggyback on what you said, Jesus would come today and ask us, you know, how are we treating the poor and the homeless and those in most need? And in most churches, he'd be laughed out the door, you know, because their whole stick now has been, you know, we have to fight to put Jesus' name on everything. We have to fight to be seen as Christians. And the whole point of Jesus' message was not to be seen. In fact, he argues against that several times. You know, don't do your good works so that others can see you, but rather go out there and do them in secret, and right. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You know,
But if somebody does, let them say
right. Let them talk about it, but not you. I mean, it's not your job to promote your good works. But
your goal is not to put a billboard up that right. says, hey, Mark's going to go feed the homeless right. on such and such day. Give applause.
Right, exactly.
Come watch.
And so the controversy, especially around like the holiday cups from various retailers of overpriced coffee, is kind of appalling to me because, you know, as Mark said, if you're out there doing the work of Christ, feeding the poor, feeding the homeless, taking care of the poor and the widow and the orphan, you don't need a Christmas cup that says Jesus on it or Merry Christmas on it to promote who you are. People will know who you are. It'll be obvious. It'll be obvious that you're out there doing the work of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it's important that the church has a huge mindset, you know, because the mindset has for too long been, as I said, militancy. You know, this idea of essentially avenging the death of Jesus is almost what it's become, you know.
Yeah, this may open a huge can of worms, and we only have a limited amount of time. I've been around that group and was kind of raised around that group where they wanted to take the idea of, well, we got to be a Christian nation, a Christian government. We need to be that's the way we should be. And I guess I would say, be careful what you ask for. In its pure form, if we were to embrace and be a Christian government, and, you know, if the government was strict Christianity, right. along with the church, its first, one of its main priorities would be making sure that the widows are taken care of, the orphans are cared for, homelessness is a thing of the past, and we feed those that are in need.
Right.
And most people that are of that mindset immediately, no, that's not, that's, right. you know, no, we, that's just, a, there's no, po- that's no possible way. And what they're wanting to do is establish Christianity, I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of them want to establish Christianity in the government, and being the authority is so that you can basically weaponize scripture towards people that aren't conforming to the way you live, versus allowing the nation to be a group of collective backgrounds that have come together that are free to live and to worship and to believe in the type of ways, obviously, that's not harmful to pour towards people, but to live in ways that are a blessing and that touch their lives, that, you know, that they see fit. You know, let's not forget that Christianity helped promote the Crusades,
right,
which was a huge bloody time in our history. Christianity was given people the thumbs up of, yeah, this is good, when they were bringing Africans over to our shores and making them slaves.
Right.
And so, and Christian churches were telling Nazi leaders that, yeah, we're, you know, do your thing. It's all wonderful. It's all great.
Right.
So we need to be careful when we're thinking of that we need to militarize Christianity, because that has historically not gone well, because that's not the message of Jesus. If Jesus wanted a military, he had multiple opportunities to jump up and say, okay, let's do this. He had many times. Matter of fact, he backed away how many times when people would push him towards that life? So we have to resist the mindset of, I'm not saying we roll over and just let people walk all over us, but we're also at a place to where we're to be humble, we're to be peacemakers, we're to, you know, find, you know, live peaceably with all people if possible.
Right.
And there's that key phrase in there, if possible. But most people don't even exhaust the opportunities of the if possible. They just jump to, oh, you disagree with me? Well, let me beat you over the head.
Right.
So militarizing Christianity is not the message of Christ.
No. And Ant points out Matthew 25:35-42, best way describes how we should treat others. And you're right, that's the message of the sheep and the goats. You know, when did I see you poor and take care of you? When did I see you homeless and bring you in? When did I see you sick and care for you? When did I see you in prison and visit you? You know, that's very true. That is the call that we are given. In fact, that message is Jesus being asked, you know, how to get to the kingdom of God, how to get to heaven. And Jesus responds with the story of the sheep and the goats. You know, if you want to get to heaven, this is what you do. And if you don't want to, this is what you do to get to the other place. I mean, it's essentially the message there. And so, but we ignore that. We ignore his exhortation to the rich young man, you know, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we ignore that and instead focus on, well, if I just sit in the pew and believe that Jesus is my Savior, that's all I have to do. That's all I have to do. And that's not what Jesus said. You know, Paul spoke about that a lot. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, this is what you have to do. And so this holiday season, the best thing we can do is re-embrace that message of focusing on taking care of those most in need, those who need our support and love and care in the world around us, especially in this holiday season. But the key about the holiday season is that if you can establish a habit of taking care of those most in need around you throughout Advent, then you will find come Christmas time that it's become a part of who you are. You are able to then continue to do it all year long. They say it takes about 40 days to establish a habit Advent is just a little shy of 40 days. So, I mean, you can, if you can establish that pattern through Advent and the Christmas season, make it to Epiphany, that's 40 days, then you will have that habit in your life for the rest of the year. That's one of the great things about Advent and Lent as seasons, is that if you can establish a pattern in those time periods, you can carry it out the rest of the year. It can be something that becomes part of who you are. So that's a very important thing to do. Reverend Mark, your final thoughts?
Well, I think you summed it up beautifully there. The focus on what is this speaking to me right now? I like asking myself questions in seasons like this. You know, what does Christ's birth say to me? How can I live it? How can I live what it's speaking to me? And how can I embrace that? It could be multiple things, or it could be one thing that you need to focus on. I like that we have themes for the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And a lot of people need hope. Definitely can use more peace. I am not a critic of too much joy at all. And, of course, love never fails and always can change our world. So, you know, find one of those things, if not all of them, and say, how do I embrace this for all of my life moving into this new 2025 season?
Excellent. Thank you. Bishop Ben, your final thoughts?
You know, I was going to go back a couple of steps and say, you know, we were talking about how people are doing things just to say, look at me during Advent or anytime during the regular holiday seasons. Look at me, I'm feeding the homeless. Look at me, I'm taking care of a single mother with kids. This focus on not doing that anymore, let's take a step back and not put ourselves in the spotlight. Who should be in the spotlight during Advent? It's Jesus Christ. It's our Lord and Savior. He's the one in the spotlight. And if we're doing things just to say, look at us, look how holy we are, then is your heart in the right place? Are you doing it for vanity, or are you doing it for to help your fellow brothers and sisters? Are you doing it out of love? For Advent, you know, I always tell everybody, you know, and year-round too, it's year-round practice. Like Bishop says, it's 40 days to form a good habit, you know. You have to look at bettering yourself. Even as priests, we get up behind the altar. And sometimes some priests we know is in the independent movement, they're doing it for, look at me, look at this, look at the fame we get. But for me and Bishop and Reverend Mark, I'm pretty sure, we get behind the altar, we're doing it for the congregation, we're doing it for the Lord, not for the spotlight. And I just urge people during this season to take a look at that and help do your community a favor and show love and compassion.
Very good, Bishop Ben. Thank you. And my final thought is this. All of the above. Essentially, this is a great time to form a good habit. This is a great time to focus on how you want to greet the Christ child come Christmas. Do you want to greet the Christ child with a heart full of anger and hatred and division? Or do you want to greet the Christ child with love and compassion and joy and hope and peace and love? And if you find that deep in your heart there are things that you really think need to change, then this is the time to change it. You know? This is the time to make it right. If there are people in your life that you need to go to and apologize, then go do that. If there are people in your life that are just absolutely toxic, then this is the time to deal with that. You know, prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your body for the coming of the Christ child in just a few weeks, so that you can approach him with all the peace and love and joy in the world. Okay. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Expanding Your Faith. I want to thank Reverend Mark and Bishop Ben for their wonderful help tonight.
Thank you for hosting us.
Yes, thank you.
For their wonderful help tonight as well. And next week, we're going to be sans Reverend Mark. He's off to an exciting adventure next Saturday night. And so it'll just be me and Bishop Ben. So you know, I have to struggle through that. but we'll be talking about Christianity according to St. John. St. John from the Epistle, the Wives of the Apostles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And so we'll be talking about that next Saturday. And so I hope you all will join us for that. Until then, until we once again work to expand your faith, keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.